Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Coming to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. My name is John Mark Tolley, and joining me today, as always, is my co-host,
Garrett K. Jones. How are you guys doing out there in the galaxy?
I am doing good. As you can, if you're watching us on the YouTubes, as you can see, we're going to do a live reaction to the official Acolyte trailer from Disney Plus. Just fair warning, I have already seen this trailer, but I always liked watching it again. Garrett has not, though, so you'll be getting Garrett's full reaction, instant reaction, watching this for the first time. And without further ado, let's see what we have to offer here.
Close your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. We must not trust them. Tell me what comes into your mind.
Life. Balance. I see fire.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
What happened?
I sensed the darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?
All right. Well,
interesting.
I almost got the breakdown from one of the other shows. Well, what did you think?
Well, I mean, visually it looks cool.
I'm
kind of like, I mean, I had to stifle my tongue for just a moment because as when the little girl said icy fire, the first thing I wanted to throw out was a reference to that Ed Sheeran song from The Hobbit. crossing franchises there. But I'm kind of digging this a little bit. From what I understand, this is taking place during like the High Republic era.
Yeah, it definitely looks High Republic. I'm not sure how long exactly, how many years, hundreds of years before the events of the movies take place.
So it's supposed to be set at the end of the High Republic era before the events, but it doesn't say exactly how far before that.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm like, it looks cool, although I'm like, the thing that strikes me as odd is it, like, the way it's written out feels just kind of weird, because like the Sith were, yeah, it's all about power. But that line of it's not about good or bad, it's about power, is it's a misnomer, because the Sith traditionally have been tyrants, using the power that they amass to enslave other people.
Yeah. But for a Sith themselves, they wouldn't see themselves as being good or bad.
Right. No, they would actually see themselves
probably as a Sith. A Sith trying to entice a Jedi to turn to the dark side, I could see them saying something like that, or to justify what they're doing.
Yeah.
That it's not necessarily about good or bad.
Yeah.
So to me, that line didn't really bother me that much.
And it will be interesting to see how it plays out. Now, the thing that kind of struck me as odd is like some of the fight sequences look cool.
Yeah.
But like it feels too choreographed.
Mm.
It doesn't have that rawness that you see in other Star Wars media. It feels like there's a lot of wire work and you can see it.
I thought the first thing I thought when you mentioned that was Crouching Tiger.
Yeah. There's definitely a very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon vibe, or even something out of something out of Korea. There's definitely that vibe, and it kind of struck me as a little odd. Now, it will be interesting because usually, like with the way that the Jedi Order operate, because we saw a lot of, especially in that last clip from the trailer where you have all those Jedi rushing at whichever Sith is approaching, you had a lot of them wielding a mix of green, blue, and yellow sabers. And the yellow sabers are typically Jedi Sentinels who usually stand guard at the Jedi Temple.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious why you have a bunch of at least Jedi Knights, maybe Padawan, wielding yellow. And so if they're not Sentinels, then why are they out in the field like that?
Well, and maybe we'll see other Jedi Temples outside.
That's entirely possible. I think
maybe that jungle is like one of the other Jedi temples that are kind of throughout the galaxy.
Right. And there was at least one Jedi temple on the planet Osis that had a jungle motif to it, that, and this very well could be that location. We don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the information.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the information as far as who the creator is. And the creator for the show is Leslie Headland. And she's known for the play in the 2012 film Bachelorette. She worked on the 2015 film Sleeping with Other People, and then she co-created Russian Doll alongside Natasha Lyonne and Amy Poehler for Netflix. So just looking at what she's worked on. So Bachelorette, she was writer, director, and producer. And she's also that for Sleeping with Other People. And then, the other projects she's been writer, director, and executive producer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about this because like it feels like this could be another one of those projects that Disney is putting out that has like some kind of like political bent to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to give it at least a fair shot.
Yeah, I think that's all we can do, is just give it a fair shot. Or of course, we will, once it comes out, we'll review it and talk about the episodes and our honest opinion and what we thought about it. Of course, we're going to be doing our review of the latest two episodes of Bad Batch. But before we do, we had other Star Wars news. Apparently, where is it at? Patty Jenkins Rogue Squadron. Still working on the a script for Rogue Squadron. So this is exactly what she said on a podcast. I'm trying to think what the podcast was. The TCM Max podcast. She said, quote, "So when I left Star Wars to do Wonder Woman 3, I thought maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after Wonder Woman 3. So we did a deal for that to happen, started a deal, but I thought I was doing Wonder Woman. When that went away, Lucasfilm and I were like, oh, we got to finish this deal. We finished the deal right as the strike was happening. So now I owe a draft of Star Wars. And so we'll see what happens there. You know, like, who knows?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. You know, like, who knows? It's hard to have a job in front of them. What's going on? It's hard to have a job in front of them of what the first movie they're going to do. They have other directors who've been working. And I'm like, you know, I'm back doing Rogue Squadron. We'll see what happens. We need to develop, you know, get it where we're both super happy with it. So right now it's in the writing stages of it.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, from what I understand, the initial phase for this, like this particular project, was actually supposed to be almost like a TV series, or was it always meant to be a film?
I don't know. I was always the impression it was going to be a movie.
Okay. And maybe that's right, because it was like, it was supposed to have like a World War II dogfight vibe.
Yeah, the initial teaser that Patty Jenkins did for it was, she talked about her dad being a Vietnam fighter pilot, being one of the last actual dogfights in US Air Force history, and wanting to create the ultimate, basically, fighter pilot movie.
Right.
But while also taking in her love of Star Wars. And she said this is a way she could do that, by using her other love. She always wanted to make the ultimate fighter pilot movie. And she felt she could do that by combining it with her other love of Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, this could be interesting, because like, I like Patty Jenkins. Like, what she did with the first Wonder Woman film, I think, was really great. Was really amazing the way she did it. Because, like, I mean, that was done as kind of a historical, historically set piece.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in the vein of like Captain America, the First Avenger, where that was set during World War II.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was set during World War I. So she's got, and she's done other things that have that kind of historical vibe. Her first major she's had a couple of other projects that she's worked on, but her first real main thing that I ever was familiar with was Monster, starring Charlize Theron and Christina Ricci. And that was, very well acclaimed for what she did, because especially concerning the fact that it was based on real events. And so other projects that she has worked on, she directed an episode of Arrested Development. She directed two episodes of Entourage, which I'm not a fan of Entourage, but when she's been able to handle both big and small screen fairly easily, I'm curious to see what she can do with this. My concern is what she's working on, what she's dealing with writing, because like the last project that I've seen her work on, where she was the writer on it, was Wonder Woman 1984, and that movie was just kind of all over the place. Like, it hit some decent emotional beats, and I enjoyed it well enough, but there was a lot of things that, from a story perspective, just did not make sense.
Right.
So I'm kind of, we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we get to what everyone here is here for?
Those were our appetizers for today. Let's jump into the meat and potatoes of The Bad Batch.
Exactly. Episodes 7 and 6 and 7?
Yes.
Is that right? Or 7?
Yes. I didn't think we're going to be getting a 2 for this week.
I didn't either, week. Yeah. I noticed that, especially the first one was rather short.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. It turned out to be really good, and I was really excited to see how it played out.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the information for those episodes. So the first one was, episode 6, Infiltration, The Batch reunites with an ally in need. and then extraction. As enemies close in, the batch must evacuate a stronghold. And I like this because these were two parts of I mean, they could have been threaded together as one longer episode, but I think the way that they handled it was good because it leaves it on a nice cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah. We got a little bit more information about what was going on at the facility as far as the experiments being done on the clones. But I thought it was a really, really solid episode.
Yeah, the I think the thing that I liked about it was like the infiltrator operative that was sent in by Hemlock. Like, I mean, obviously, just by the way they moved and by what you have around, you know, the Tantus facility, obviously it had to have been a clone.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how this is playing out because, like, we got the initial infiltrator was unmasked. You know, they removed the armor and you see that it's just it's a clone. There's
yeah,
and he has no memory of his designation. But the second one that goes to neutralize him, we never get to see his identity. And just when you think they're going to reveal that identity, they don't, which leaves that question in my mind. You know, we had talked to, you know, at the beginning of the season and at the end of last season with, you know, what they're going to do with Tech. Are they going to bring him back? Are they going to leave him dead, or is he going to have some kind of miraculous resurrection? And I feel like we're going to get the answer to this in the next couple of episodes, because I think the fact that they left the visor down on the second operative, I think it's because that's supposed to be Tech.
He doesn't sound like Tech, though.
Doesn't sound like Tech.
Tech had a very distinct voice.
Yes. Yes, he did. Very nasally, very throaty, but you know, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be wrong.
I do too. Yeah.
But I, given the way that some episodes of, you know, the predictability in some episodes have been, I could see that happening.
Yeah. I hope not.
I hope not either. Oh, don't yawn. Yawn, because you're going to be yawning, and then we're both going to be yawning, and then we'll just fall asleep, and it's going to be another 2 hours of us just snoozing on YouTube.
I'm sure people out there,
you're going to save that for the holiday special, man.
Exactly.
What were some big takeaways from these two episodes that you really liked?
I really liked, once again, getting more into Crosshair, and that again, the relationship between Crosshair and Omega, and Crosshair's comment to Hunter about loyalty and how he has he admires loyalty, and but he felt the Empire didn't return that loyalty to him.
Yeah. I think it was a wake-up call for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I did find it interesting that you never... Yeah, you had that bit of tension between... Crosshair and the clone that was there with Rex.
Yeah,
but there's never any really resolution with that. He's killed before.
No.
There can be any real, resolution. And Rex seems to be of the mindset of they trust him, I trust him.
Right. And well, I think what's interesting is the fact that as far as I'm aware, Crosshair still has his the inhibitor chip.
Yeah, no, he did take it out. He had it taken
out. Oh, he did. That's right. Yeah, they did take it out of him. He's still, but he chose to be loyal to the Emperor.
Yeah, he chose the Empire.
But I the thing I liked about it is like the hunt, like it's kind of cool to see the commandos.
Yeah.
Being, like, because I mean that old commando armor being utilized, like we didn't get to see much of it, and so like I'm getting flashbacks of the Star Wars Commandos video game that came out back in the early 2000s, and because it was a first person shooter, a la you know Doom or Halo, but set in Star Wars, and it was set during the Clone Wars. Very similar, you know, very cool premise, but you were dressed up as a clone commando, not a clone trooper. And so to see that armor being used in the field, not just for security purposes at a science lab, is pretty neat.
Yeah. I also noticed, did you get Jabba's Palace vibes?
Yeah.
From the way it was, I first thing I thought was like, oh, I bet that's a Bamor Order, Bamor Order monastery.
Yeah.
That would make sense, the monks that were.
Yeah, because they set up monasteries all throughout the galaxy, and Jabba's Palace was just one that had been retrofitted.
Yeah. Yeah, I expected to see what the little brain spiders that were all throughout Jabba's Palace skitter in the background.
Yeah, and I liked the pacing of these two episodes. Like it, mm-hmm. like the pacing was good. It kept me engaged. And like
I thought the first one felt very much like there was action, but it always everything was leading up to the action. It was just, you know, you're just like you're expecting something to happen, then nothing happens. It just builds the tension, mm-hmm. the tension.
Yeah,
and then the second episode is like, boom, we're going to go.
The wire snaps. Action. And because as the audience, I mean, that's where good writing comes into play, because as the audience, we know what's about to unfold. We're just waiting to see it unfold. And so to see that tension just get ratcheted up to that breaking point, and then we cut and we have to wait for that next episode, I'm just like, oh, this is getting good.
Yeah. And then, I mean, even with the, you know, with Crosshair and the rest of the gang, of, you know, finding out like, okay, he hasn't told them everything.
Yeah.
You know, he you know, as far as the program and the fact that it didn't take. And I like that line of about being defective.
Yeah.
The fact that he it wouldn't take because he's defective.
My thought though is, again, because this is how my brain thinks as a writer. What right. if he had a new inhibitor chip put in? He thinks that everything he's doing is his will, but Hemlock has programmed him to rebel just enough to lead them to lead you know the Imperials where they need to be.
Yeah. What if like, the oh. Because remember, they went there because of a tracking beacon. What if the right. beacon wasn't on
the operative?
The operative. What if it was on Crosshair?
What not just on Crosshair? What if it's in Crosshair?
In Crosshair, yeah.
Because if he's got that tracking beacon, maybe that is what's creating the neurological issues with his hand.
Hmm.
Because if it's sitting on one of the on you know that part of the brain that would affect the stabilization of the nerves in his hand, I mean that could be what's because like maybe like deep down he knows there's something there, he just can't do anything about it. Maybe the like because my thought would be how cool would it be that his hand is subconsciously trying to like tap out Morse code or something, you know, some kind of rhythmic code to say, hey, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And he's just thinking, I can't shoot my gun.
I have a feeling one way or the other, Crosshair isn't going to make it. I think by the end of the season, Crosshair will, and I think he'll sacrifice himself.
I do too.
I think he'll have some sort of, you know, to particularly to save Omega.
I don't think it's just going to be to save Omega. I think, because Hunter's that character that will always drop on the wire
to save his buddy.
Yeah.
I feel like Hunter is going to go for that to protect Omega, and Crosshair is going to push him out of the way or do something to hinder that so that he can finally get the redemption that he's been seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, kudos for the writers for coming up with something really, really cool, because that's probably what I would have done. If that doesn't happen, I will be mildly surprised.
Yeah. I mean,
what are you thinking, John?
It's so hard to say. The fact that we don't have, you know, there's no mention of the Bad Batch and Rebels. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens as the season goes on, as far as the rest of the Bad Batch.
So my question for you is, what do you think of that reunion with Rex and Wolf?
That was really interesting.
Wolf is in Rebels.
He is.
Working with Rex.
Mm.
Because those scratches that are on his armor, on his chest plate, those are the same scratches that are on his chest plate in Rebels.
Mm, yeah.
And he didn't have those in the Clone Wars.
Now, were the soldiers that were with him, those were stormtroopers, right?
Some of them were stormtroopers, some of them were commandos.
Were the commandos, those were clone. Like the one that was like sitting right beside him, that was a clone. Because that sounded like a clone voice.
Yeah.
So my thing was in this, and I understand like they had to do something to set up, you know, him, you know, in the future joining Rex. But just the logical side of my brain said, first thing I thought of was like, why didn't the rest of the stormtroopers, the minute he let them go, immediately turn on Wolf?
To me
that didn't make sense from a logical standpoint, you know, considering how in, you know, the stormtroopers were indoctrinated,
right,
that they wouldn't automatically turn their blasters and either arrest him or just blast him right there. Or letting, as they would see, traitors go. Unless they had, you know, some, there was enough clone troopers there among them that had enough respect for Wolf that they would have let it happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that myself. I'm really...
Because the first thing I thought was going to happen whenever the standoff happened was Wolf was going to turn around and start blasting, and then the rest of the Bad Batch would start blasting too. And then Wolf would take off with them. So when that didn't happen, I was just kind of like, huh.
Yeah. It will be interesting for sure to see how that plays out, because I'm really curious, because like when Hunter started letting Caleb Doom go, what do you go by in Rebels? Kanan Jarrus. Thank you. When he started letting them go, that's when Crosshair started kind of, you know, going haywire.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of cool to see how this really, you know, plays out.
Yeah. Well, what would you rate these two episodes?
This particular episode, you know what? I was really surprised by how well they were written. And so mm-hmm. I would probably give both of these episodes a solid 90%.
I agree. Yeah, a 90% is a good.
There's some stuff that was a little predictable, and I can't imagine. Like, there's a part of me that looks at the little space pod that that they escaped the facility in. There's no way that thing should have been able to fly. Like, it had the aerodynamics of a brick. Space shuttles fly better. Yeah. And they're meant to crash land. So,
yeah.
But I did like the way that the episodes played out. The fight through the circular staircase was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I it was well choreographed, well paced, and I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Crosshair, seeing his limitations that he had with his hand and improvising on the fly to setting up a little explosive on the end of his
I thought that was brilliant.
A 90%. All right. Well, I think this is a good place to wrap things up for this week.
I think so, too. We will be back next week watching our next episode, which will be the halfway point of Bad Batch Season 3, or the final season. Now that we're coming up on spring break and the Easter season, anything that you're looking forward to, John?
More Star Wars, more Bad Batch. Spending time with family as the Easter season comes. We just got done with our spring break here.
Oh, wow.
Today was Lily's first day back at school, which, by the way, we recorded our newest episode of Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child today. So be looking for that soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
We watched the episode of The Gungan General.
Ooh,
was one of a two-part episodes to introduce Hondo.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, like, he's become such an intrinsic part of modern Star Wars now that
I still want to see him in live action. I want to see Hondo Ohnaka. Yeah, he is.
It would be such good. A
great character.
He is definitely a fun character. He's got all the roguishness of a decent smuggler, plus a little bit more personality than some of the others.
Exactly. It's like my favorite one is like there's one where it's in Rebels, and someone makes a comment about splitting 50-50, and he just burst out laughing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, be looking for that. What about you, Garrett? What do you have?
The next couple of weeks are going to be super like the rest of this week is super busy for me. And then Easter week or the week leading up to it is just going to be just intense. Just getting ready for things at work. But I'm excited because I'm actually going to be the beginning of April, I'm actually going to start back doing creative writing workshops at our local library. So the first one coming up will be April 6th. At least that's what I've been told. I'm like the first, they've been asking for instructors to step up and sign up for things. And since I was like one of the first ones, I'm pretty much guaranteed to get the time slots and the dates that I need to fill my schedule. And so I'm really excited for that. But looking at at what I have, because I have to go back in and look at my messages here. But I've got four classes coming up between April and July. So in April, doing an introduction to writing fiction. In May, talking about introducing your characters. In June, introducing your world. So we're going to be doing a little bit of world building that one. And then July is drafting the first chapter, which can always be really daunting for a lot of writers, myself included. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to be a great new opportunity.
Awesome. We do have one thing, and I know I'm kind of springing this on Garrett, but this is something that you don't really have to As this is, we are in the middle of, if you're a sports ball fan, a March Madness. So I thought it would be fun to do our own little March Madness tournament on our Facebook group.
Nice.
And on all our social media. So we will be kind of, I'm going to set it up, and it's going to be a tournament with all of the different Star Wars characters in kind of a, not really a battle royal, but we're going to be pitting them against each other to see who is the ultimate Star Wars character. We're going to be doing this. I'm going to set up the seedings of try to get at least 64 characters and seed them against each other. And each week, we'll set up polls, and they will, through fan interaction, battle against each other to see who, again, who is the ultimate Star Wars character.
That will be cool.
Yeah. So I have spoken it. It has to happen now. anyway, Garrett, why don't you tell the people out there where they can find you at?
Well, you guys can find me on a couple different platforms. First and foremost, you can find me on Instagram and X. I know our banner here still says Twitter. We haven't edited that. But you can find me on Instagram and X at GKJ_publishing, where I'm not really on X as much as I should be, just because it's a lot of nonsense on X these days. I post about my books. I post about my show The Right Way, which is on YouTube. If you just look for GKJ Publishing on YouTube, you can find me there. And I have a show called The Right Way, where we talk book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. This season, our creative writing tips are focused on writing poetry. I just had a new episode come out this last Saturday, where I had science fiction fantasy author Matthew Romeo as a guest host, providing his top 10 book recommendations. I interviewed
Kay Griffin. Those to you, by the way.
Yeah. Kay Griffin. Yeah, that's right, because you're going to be on for May. I had an interview with sci-fi author Kay Griffin Peterson, and then the writing tips were for writing elegies this month. Mm-hmm. And you can get in this whole next week, you can catch encores of each of those segments. So if you don't want to watch through the entire episode, you can catch the encore segments. Then I have a live stream going on this next Saturday. And then the week after that, on the 30th, I start like five new episodes back to back each week through the month of April. And it's the spring preview plus my author awareness April marathon. Each week, a new interview.
Awesome. Well, as for us right here, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do so through our email. That is warofthestars1@gmail.com. That is also our handle on Twitter, or X, or Twix, as you like to call it.
Yep. Those are delicious too.
They are. Do you like right or left?
I don't care. They both go into my mouth and I eat them with equal fervor.
Anyway,
put them into a milkshake.
Ooh, that sounds good. Anyway, all our social media on Facebook, Instagram, all that other fun stuff. You can just search War of the Stars, the Star Wars podcast. We're, of course, part of the Geek News Now network. Go to Geek News Now on Spotify to find us there, or wherever fine podcasts are heard. As I said before, you can also check me out on Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child with my daughter Lily, as we are starting that back up again. A lot of fun doing that. Spreadshirtshop.com. If you want to check out, there's the little URL there, or just go to spreadshirt.com and search for the stars. I'm sure you'll be able to find us there that way. Yeah. Anyway, with that being said, as always, remember, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Ooh, teeny!